This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to this week's episode of 5-on-3. I am Sophia Smith, and I'm joined by Lydia Perner, Grace McCarron, and Fifi Slosher. After a long, long offseason, the NHL is finally back in full swing, and we have a lot to talk about today, including Rangers, Islanders, Devils, and all the new signings that happened this week. But first, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Thursday, which sometimes Thursday feels like Friday to me, so can't complain. Long weekend this weekend, that's big. Hockey's back too, so it's all good fun. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, doing good. A little bit sick, but Islanders are opening tonight, so gotta lock in for that. Long weekend, and hockey's back. Home opener on Saturday. I'll be there at UBS. And yeah, looking forward to it.
So the NHL, as I said, is officially back. The season opened on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, October 7th. Triple header, which started at 5 p.m. We saw the Panthers raise the banner. They won against the Blackhawks. The Rangers got shut out by Pittsburgh in embarrassing fashion. And the Kings played later on, and they surprise debuted some third jerseys, which look pretty cool, I think. And then after tonight, all 32 teams will be back in action. As we said, the Islanders play tonight and the Devils for the first time this season. So the first team that has played in our New York area is the Rangers. And as I said, they did lose to the Penguins at home opener. They lost 3-0. To score 0 goals in your home opener after a major, major offseason where you got a new coach, got a new captain, made a lot of trades, and they are officially 0-1 without Chris Kreider. So, what were your guys' reactions? I know Lydia was there, and she, just for all the listeners, she literally has paper notes in front of her right now. So I'm curious to hear what she has to say.
Okay, well, in my defense, I thought I was going to be too busy this week to make this podcast, so I didn't have, like, electronic notes, but what I did have was my backpack from Tuesday, so I kind of just pulled them out, and, you know, it's the same takeaways. But yeah, I was at opening night. It was awesome to be back, despite the loss. Like, definitely this year, I've gone to opening night the past 2 years. This was my third year in a row going. And it was honestly, like, I was texting one of my friends. Like, I was, like, emotional. Like, it was weird. I usually go with my dad, and I think this time, like, going, like, as a reporter was just very surreal. So, like, I'm not even kidding when I tell you I was, like, tearing up during the national anthem. Kind of embarrassing, but it's okay. I had a great conversation with Kyle Dubas, who was sitting right behind me. Good guy. But, yeah, it was a ton of fun. I honestly, it sucks that they got shut out, but I'm not as worried about that loss as I am a lot of the losses the last season. One, because it's game one. Two, because the offense didn't click because half of our players didn't play in preseason. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Panarin, you know, he fakes that injury every year. He doesn't fake the injury. He just, for some reason, never plays in the preseason with an undisclosed injury. Miller got hurt during the preseason, so he didn't play much. So, like, post-game, he was asked about, like, how'd you feel? And he said, not great. And, like, I think that quote got taken out of context a little bit because Canucks fans were like, haha, like, he's lazy, whatever. And I think it genuinely is, like, he just has to get back into game shape. But it does suck that this is happening game one. But with, you know, Mike Sullivan being the bench boss, I thought systematically they played a lot better. I thought they played harder. I don't think it was the effort last game. I think you want a little bit more urgency out of them. But I thought that effort in terms of, like, structure, or sorry, in terms of how they played was better. It's just their structure wasn't good. Like, defensively, I think they gave up too much. I think that they just were getting a little lost with passing off players. Igor bailed them out a bunch of times. Yeah. But I think that this is something that you know, if it's still happening game 10, then you're like, yeah, you just got to blow it up. But I'm going to take that. Also, like, the Rangers only lost by one goal. Like, that's what I'm going to choose to look at instead, because Mike Sullivan's whole system has been kind of what the Panthers do. Like, just beat teams by one, beat teams by two. because this was a 1-0 game. And yeah, I think I think it'll be okay, but only time will tell.
For me, I'm just like mad because I was so excited for like the
I think
know,
it's
opening
the excitement
night.
Factor that made
and
it
I thought that they were gonna come out looking really strong, and like we said, like JT Miller didn't play much in the preseason, and maybe he's, you know, not fully recovered from whatever.
I mean, Panarin was certainly rusty.
Yeah, 100%. But you know, like Trocheck had played, Mika, and still nobody did anything really.
But like Sullivan, the whole preseason, we never really saw a full, complete roster of the Rangers. Even you know, game 6 against the Bruins, you would think, you know, maybe you'd be running out a regular lineup. I know the Islanders ran out a regular lineup against the Rangers
and lost.
Basically, now I can say the Hartford Wolfpack, since the Rangers sent down all those guys, Brett Berard, Gabe Perreault. But yeah, I think that maybe they would have benefited from that, but I do think like Sullivan's just truly trying to feel everything out. And I also don't think the Rangers roster will be the same. I think those guys that got sent down to Hartford will come up sooner rather than later. I know we'll talk about like standout players, but I will tell you, if Scott Morrow isn't ready in the next couple weeks, it's going to be a long season because Carson Soucy is just not good enough to be on that second pairing.
The bottom four D-men, you have Soucy, Borgen, Vakanainen, and Schneider.
It's Soucy. Like, I don't even think Schneider and Vakanainen are that bad. I honestly think they're a fine third pairing. Soucy stinks.
Yeah.
He's slow.
It's just the, like, I just get angry looking at that. And, you know, Gustafson was put on waivers, like, last week or this week or whatever. And I was like, why don't you just take Eric
Gustafson?
Was
he really? I didn't see that.
Yes, and nobody took him, I don't think. And I was like, bring back Gus.
I liked Gustafson. I just think that, like, the Rangers are trying to be a lot more defensive of a team than they have the past couple seasons. Like, that's why you go out and get Gavrikov, who I thought looked really good opening night. Mm-hmm. He's a steady defender. But I think Carson Soucy is just too old, too slow. I mean, he was getting, it looked like he was flat-footed, but I don't even think he was flat-footed. I just think he just doesn't have, like, the pace to his game anymore because he was getting beat every time. And here's, like, the negative about that loss. Pittsburgh is going to be one of the worst teams in the league this season. And Soucy's getting beat every time by, like, rookies.
Ridiculous. And, like, tonight they're playing Buffalo, and, like, this is another game. You should win this game, especially after putting up a donut. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, like I want to see you just have to win the game. You have to score goals.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm just frustrated just because of how positive I felt going into it because all of the changes that were made, and then like last season was so disappointing. And I know it's been one game, but like I don't know, something about, and like the jerseys were beautiful.
Igor's pad setup too.
Exactly,
is like
it all
so
looks
sexy.
So good. And like watching them in warmups, I was like, okay, you know what? I have so much high hopes.
Yeah,
it was
the first time that like the garden was rocking.
Yeah,
for about half a period, or until 19:28 into the first period.
And then they had 11 shots halfway through the game. Like,
yeah. To be fair though, they missed the net a lot. Yeah. It was like
Mika was getting good chances.
Yeah, Mika looked good.
Finish.
They had good opportunities. They just couldn't hit the net. And honestly, like Cooley had that one. I thought that goal was in when he like beat the guy. I was like, oh my god, Cooley's gonna score the first goal of the season. But no. And then I get sent that he was the worst player in the game.
I was actually gonna send you that too.
I got like about 3 or 4 people sent it to me after I'd already saw it myself, but I chose to like scroll past it because I was like, no, nope.
I don't have to look at
nope,
this.
Nope, that's propaganda. Don't let the media persuade your opinions, guys. Will Cooley did not play that. I didn't actually think he played that bad. Like,
well,
to be all
to the
way at the bottom on the defensive metrics, I was like, I don't know. I didn't think he played that bad. It's just no one played good. That's the problem. It was just sloppy.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, like, did anyone stick out as, like, particularly good or bad? Which, obviously,
Igor played well. You have anyone that you noted? Just to see if I had the same person. I had one name written down.
I can't really lie. I kind of had the game, like, to the side.
Oh, that's valid. Connor Sheary.
Oh, okay.
Was the most noticeable New York Ranger on the back check. That guy hustles. He's like, all right, I might get beat, but I'm not going to go down without a fight. And that's a product of playing for Mike Sullivan for so many years.
Yeah.
Because what Mike Sullivan is going to do to this team is if they lose every game, they are not going to lose in the fashion they did last year, or else he is genuinely going to run them into the ground. But Connor Sheary, he isn't like, he's, look, I... I don't know why, like, when you go on Twitter or something and open it and all these fans are, like, making, like, mock lineups for what it should be and everyone cuts Shiri out of it. I thought he played very well in the preseason. I think he earned the contract. I think he earned an opening night spot. I think he's a great third and fourth line player because you don't want all flashy players. Like, he had a couple block shots. He was, again, back-checking. And when you see one teammate skating that hard, then your other line mate starts skating that hard, too, on the back check. So I think he's just... He kind of reminds me a bit of Barkley Goodrow, in the sense that, like, he's just a reliable player. He might not put the puck in the back of the net a ton for you, but I think that's okay. Definitely the disposable forward is going to be Radish, and that's going to be a spot that's up for grabs because he just wasn't necessarily noticeable to me, but I don't hate having him on the opening night roster. Noah Labba also made his NHL debut. Yeah. So I think, which he just looked nervous. He just looked, you know, first game jitters.
I'm really glad that they gave him his shot, though, because I think that he proved himself in his preseason. And, like, I like you said, I do think that they're going to bring up some of the guys back from Hartford, like Berard.
Yeah.
Because I liked what we saw from him last year.
Yeah, I think we'll see Brett Berard sooner rather than later. I think we'll see Gabe sooner rather than later. The player I've never been high on is Brennan Hoffman.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And it's just so disappointing.
Yeah.
Because, like, he did have so much hype around him, and every preseason it's like, okay, like, how is he doing in training camp, and then how is he doing
this year was his fifth or sixth rookie camp.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, saying. Like,
that is not good.
Like, clearly he's not developing the way that we hoped that he would.
Here's the thing about Othman, and I've just never been big on him, so it's one of those things, like, he was always the best player on his team, and he grew up playing with, like, the same players, so that, like, I don't think he ever experienced adversity, and I think someone who he grew up with closely and played closely with is going through the exact same thing in Shane Wright. Shane Wright, Brennan Hoffman, and Brant Clark were all, like, teammates, you know, from age 5 until basically the World Juniors Team Canada, and I think Wright is having the same issue as Hoffman, as you never... face adversity, you were always the best player on your team, you always had your friends to fall back on, but now you're like, you have all this hype around you, you have an ego, which sometimes can be a good thing, sometimes it's not a good thing, but now that, like, stuff's not going his way, he doesn't really know what to do, and his only thing that he can do is tell himself, like, he knows he can play at this level, but I haven't seen anything to tell me he can play this level. I mean, he hasn't even scored an NHL goal.
No, I know.
So,
and, like, he's had opportunities in camp preseason and he's had in the regular
season.
Yeah,
he's had
season.
All the opportunities, and I always see people, and Grace, I'm sorry, but I always see people saying, like, Brennan Hoffman is what Will Cooley, or Will Cooley is what Brennan Hoffman was supposed to be, and Brennan Hoffman is what Will Cooley was supposed to be, because they were drafted, like, Hoffman was taking, like, 13th overall or something.
Yeah. Wow.
But Will Cooley is, like, a dog. Anyways, I know Joe Henry likes Will Cooley, too. Sorry, just shout out the producer behind the glass. Big Will Cooley guy, Joe Henry, eh? Yeah, he's nodding his head. Yes, just for the listeners. Yeah, so that's my take on Brennan Hoffman. But it was good to see Labba make his debut.
Yeah,
and I think he's got a good spot on the third line there.
I want to address the power play for a minute. Because,
yeah, that's a good one.
Well, see, the power plays units came out, like, before the game, and, you know, Rempe was on power play 2, which is just the, like, response.
I think they took him off power play 2.
No, I know. Yeah. But it was just really funny watching everyone react to that on Twitter. But the power play unit, I think that they were rolling. I think they put Laugh in there, like, later on in the game.
Yeah, Laugh ended up going in for Trocheck to power play 1.
But it was originally, like, Miller, Trocheck, Mika.
Yeah.
Who else?
Panarin and Fox.
So, I just, what do you think about that? What do you think about Laugh going in later on and, like, switching him with Trocheck?
I'm more of a proponent of switching, taking Mika off power play 1 and and putting Laugh there, because I think the thing about Trocheck is, now that Kreider's gone, Trocheck is more of, like, a gritty player to, A, win the faceoff, B, kind of go after that puck, because you don't need the Rangers on that unit 1 with Mika on it, or, you know, it's an all an opinion thing of who you think should be taken off of it for Lafreniere. I do think Lafreniere should be on
power
play 1.
I think he should be on it too.
But if you have Mika, JT Miller, and Vincent Trocheck, you have 3 faceoff guys. You only need 2, because if 2 people get booted from the faceoff circle, it's a penalty. So you don't need three people. Like, you need, you know, a backup option on the power play, because sometimes, like, Kreider would have to be taking faceoffs last year, and he'd never win faceoffs because he's a winger. But so I also think Meek is very one-dimensional. It's that one-timer or nothing. But I don't hate him, like, on power play, too, because I think what Sullivan wants to do is he wants to play a lot more balanced units. And I think, like, I do think they could have the personnel for it. Obviously, Matt Rumby shouldn't necessarily be on the power play, too.
I just thought it was funny because, like, in the preseason, like, he was on power play, too, and he would just stand in front of the net. And, like, like, it's an interesting strategy. Like, it was, like, the goalies will get annoyed when there's 6'9".
I mean, not specifically about the power play, but Rempe played really well.
Yeah,
game one.
I actually
opening
like,
night.
I've been noticing. I'm like, okay,
he played well in the preseason.
Better.
He dropped 12 pounds apparently, or gained 12 pounds. No, did he drop or gain? I think he gained 12 pounds.
Damn.
Of muscle, and he's wanted the puck on his stick.
Yeah.
So yeah, if he dropped 12 pounds, that one he would.
I was
yeah,
say that,
no, it wasn't trying. He gained 12 pounds. Muscle.
Did he?
He's looked good with the puck on
grow?
His stick.
Like, okay,
every time
guys,
I see him, look,
guys,
he's like tall.
Last
so.
Season he was 6'8", and now they keep saying 6'9", and I'm like,
is
not 6'7"?
No,
thank you so much.
Sorry,
I keep hearing 6'9" now, and I'm like, it was definitely 6'8" last season.
Yeah, I mean,
so you know, maybe he
grew
and put on
Cooley
muscle 6'3". Or whatever. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not sure how that relates, but
no, he's a tall guy. I don't remember what specifically. Maybe 6'9" on skates.
Maybe
that's not how they measure them.
Yeah,
but.
I don't know. But anyway, so they play tonight in Buffalo, like I said, at 7:00. I already said that you gotta beat Buffalo.
Yeah,
like,
you have to beat Buffalo.
There's no
but
excuse.
Buffalo's not like a bad team. They have a lot of good young guys. Well, they're a bad team, but
they're a bad team.
They have like some decent young guys that could give the Rangers trouble. But if you're the Rangers have played well against Buffalo in the last however many games. I think it's like they're like 13-2-1 or something. I that's not fully accurate, but in the last like 16, like they've had points in 13 of the games or something like that. To where they should be winning this game. But even like the last thing I guess against Pittsburgh is like they were playing against Shelovs, not Tristan Jarry, who does not have a big NHL sample size. He played well for the Canucks in the when he was with them for a bit, but like. It was their second string.
Who goaltender. Buffalo still has Luukkonen, right?
Yeah, so it'll probably be him tonight, because I don't think Levi will be.
Yeah. Oh, I did want to mention on the power play though. Mika is 9 goals away from the power play record. Like Chris Kreider is tied with.
He's not going to get
someone
that, so.
At 116.
Mika stinks.
Okay, but like I'm just thinking, like if you take Mika off power play one, like can he?
Yeah.
He can't beat that record.
Well, I don't want to be, like, trashing on Mika so early in the season. But, you know, post-game the other day, people were at JT and then over at Fox, and they were, both of those two were kind of like, you know, like, it's not good enough. We didn't get the looks we needed. We didn't get second and third chance opportunities or whatever. Like, basically saying, like, it's just not acceptable. When you go over to number 93, and he's like, yeah, no, I thought we got good chances. I
like that Mika
we
voice.
We just need to. Oh my god, he whispers in the post game. It's like
he's shy.
No, he's not shy. He just
stop
telling me you need to do this. You need to do that. Go out and do it. Like,
no, I know
you're not. Like, we're not playing good enough. We haven't been playing good. He says the same thing after every single loss, and I get there's only so many things you can say, but honestly, just take accountability for the loss. Like, you didn't get. They did not generate the offense they needed to, and that's why they lost.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily play horribly, but they didn't generate what they needed to. I mean, in the third period, I do have the documents out. I don't know if how quickly I'll be able to find it, but they only had like 5 shots in the third period.
Yeah, and you're losing. You're down by 1 goal, and you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Shelovs is in net. Like,
yeah, they had
get more shots.
The Penguins had 15 shots in the third period to the Rangers 5, and the Rangers were down
that's
a goal going
horrendous.
Into the third. Yeah, and I mean, the trend that also needs to end is, as long as I've been a Rangers fan, the first minute of a period and the last minute of the period is just not good. They just let up so many goals in the first minute or last minute.
It
just
was,
finish the
it
period.
Was, yeah, it was the last minute of the
it
first period,
32
right?
seconds left on the first.
And I was like, that's, okay. So I had this
that
game
was
on.
Laugh's fault. That was Laugh's
fault. I had this
fault.
Game on, and like I was actually like paying attention. And then I was like, okay, the period's going to end. Like, I want to put this down in a minute. And then And then they gave up one goal, and then I was like, okay, like, they're losing. Like, I'm just gonna
put that to the side
and hope they score, and then they didn't. And I was like,
what happened was Trocheck was tied up with Malkin, and I don't think Trocheck put the max effort into that face-off that he should have. But Laff was, like, lined up, and he starts going to the offensive zone thinking Trocheck won the face-off, but it was still a tie-up. And so then all of a sudden, Laff's going forward. Brezzo standing in front of the net. Malkin wins the puck, passes to Brezzo, one-on-one with Igor, and so he goes to the backhand and beats him. Nothing Igor could do on that. But it's, like, those little things. Like, you can't get caught puck-watching on a face-off in your defensive zone. But I think the thing, as Rangers fans, that we all have to do, like, myself included, is really try and isolate, like, last year from this year. Because it's because last year sucked so badly, and, like, if they gave up one goal, you knew they weren't winning the game. Obviously, it's a one-game sample size. Like, what can you do? But I think we have to try and give them the benefit of the doubt, because I really do think Mike Sullivan is going to change this team as much as he can.
You know, obviously, new coach, new system.
But I don't really think that's an excuse anymore. Like, well, I think they want to think it's an excuse, but I think the players are also like, this is our fourth coach. Like, it's something. Like, we can't keep using that excuse.
No, totally.
Sullivan said it was, like, a little bit of both.
Yeah. Okay, on that note, we're going to move into the Islanders, which we have beat reporter Grace McCarron here to weigh in on that. They open their season tonight in Pittsburgh, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then their home opener is on Saturday against the Capitals. Schaefer made the opening night roster, which is very exciting. Grace, weigh in on that.
Definitely an exciting moment for the Islanders, just that he's on the roster. I don't know. I mean, he looked great in preseason. The way he skates is really, he's really fast, and it's really awesome. But I don't know. I think we need to, like, I think we've been saying a lot on the past, like, five on threes, like, you can't put the team in an 18-year-old kid's hands.
Definitely.
But that is, in a sense, I feel like, what they're doing. He is kind of this beacon of hope for them, because, like, they have the new GM, and they have, you know, this new shiny toy, it feels like. And that's kind of it. Like, there's not really much else with them right now. Like, we were saying last week on 5-on-3, I think it was, they don't have, like, the big star.
No.
Which is fine. Like, they have a lot of good players, but there's nothing to me that propels them on a long playoff run right now.
Yeah, especially, like, offensively, they don't have.
Yeah. You have to really hope that, like, Matt Barzal, who's coming off missing a lot of time last season, you have to hope that he has a really good year, and I think he could have a really good year. But you have to hope. You have to place a lot of hope in some things that might not work out. I'm happy that Schaefer made the roster, though. He looked great in the preseason, and I'm excited to see what he does. I just hope that he's, you know, I hope that there's more to this team than Matthew Schaefer.
Yes. So we are going to keep the Islanders and this upcoming Devils section pretty brief, because they have not played a regular season game yet. We talked about this already a little bit, me and Grace, but just, like, Lydia and Grace, if you guys, like, what is the ceiling for this team this year?
Their ceiling, I think, is sneaking into the playoffs. That's the ceiling.
I agree.
Yeah, no
that,
way.
That is the ceiling, which means I don't think it's going to happen.
What, you just blow the ceiling panels off?
Yes.
Like, I feel like the ceiling is like sneak into a wild card spot.
They were a game behind at one point last year.
Do you know what the Metro is looking like this year, though?
But I don't think the Metro is that scary.
No, it's not. But the Columbus Blue Jackets will get in above the Islanders.
Yes.
The Rangers will get in above the Islanders.
Hopefully.
The Washington Capitals will be in a spot. The Hurricanes will be in a spot. And I'm missing a really good team that I forget that will be in a spot. The Devils will be in a spot.
Yeah.
Not a really good team. But they will. There is just zero room. And then you're counting out the Atlantic Division, who Tampa, Florida, Toronto, Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
There is two spots for those couple teams at the bottom. The Islanders are not sneaking in.
Well,
that is,
I'm
like,
saying.
Crazy to say that their ceiling
I'm
is that.
Saying a lot of what, like, a ton of stuff has to go right for them to even have a shot. Like,
if the Islanders make the playoffs, like, Owen Kelty will bleach his hair blonde.
Yes, we should make that happen, actually. But, like, a lot of, like, some teams are going to have to severely underperform. Like, maybe some people have to get hurt, which, like, you don't want to root for that. But, like, yeah, that's their ceiling, and I still think it's very out of reach. But I think, like,
their ceiling is Gavin McKenna.
The team, that would actually be great. But the team thinks...
Yeah, another prospect, like, you guys can ruin, too.
The team thinks that they can make it that far, exactly, because they didn't sell everybody at the deadline last year. Kyle Palmieri is still,
that was the most ridiculous thing ever.
Which I agree, they should have sold everybody, but they could have gotten so much value back for
Kyle Palmieri.
I agree, and for maybe for Pageau
as
well.
That's
also because Lou was still the GM back then.
Yes,
that's why I think that after this season, if it doesn't work out, like,
then you have to go full rebuild.
Then you blow it up, rebuild, try to get a high draft pick.
The Islanders could be in contention for the wild card spot, but we'll do what the Flyers did a couple years ago and still sell. Because there is just no route for this team to make a ton of noise in the playoffs. And because you just got Matthew Schaefer, right now it is so much more important that you just embrace a rebuild, which I think the front office is in agreement with, than to keep holding on to these assets that are aging every day, that are getting less and less value, that are basically depreciating. Like, you need to give up. Even if you are... come, you know, March 2nd or March 5th, whenever the trade deadline is, if you are still in a position where you're competitive, I think the Islanders sell. I think they get rid of those guys because they're like, it doesn't matter if you're competitive if you don't win the Stanley Cup. Like, you don't need experience for these players at that point because half the team has experience.
And it's also, like, at what point, like, you have to kind of look at
Schaefer's, like,
the
only guy who hasn't played in the playoffs on the Islanders.
Right. You have to look at the core and think, like, how much longer do you have with these people where they're, like, going to be good together. Like, Anders Lee is 35. Like, I love him to death, but, like, how much more time do you have of him being really great? Like, not that much. And, like, there's other guys as well. Palms is getting up there. Like, you have to eventually look
Palms is up there.
Yes. He might be 36. I can't remember exactly. He's mid-30s at least, or 37. I don't know. But you have to look at, like, how much longer do you have with this core. You have
Anthony Duclair?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need these guys.
But you have, like, a few guys. Obviously, they just signed Romanov to the 8-year.
Which is,
like,
good.
Sorokin. Yeah, Sorokin is under contract. Barzal is a few more years. Mm. Like, you have some guys who are going to stick around. But it's, like, other than them, and obviously other than Schaefer, like, I think you have to look at this and think, like, okay, we have Matthew Schaefer, who you hope is good and with the Islanders for a long time. And then you have a couple of other guys. Like, Ilya Sorokin is a very good goalie. Like, okay. You have them, and then you have to kind of look at everyone else and think, like, okay, what are we going to get out of you? Like, what are they going to get out of Palmieri at this point? Probably not going to lead them to a Stanley Cup, unfortunately. So, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys. Palmieri, Duclair, Cizikas, Adam Pellick, like, Ryan Pulock. These guys are old on the older side that you can probably flip at the deadline for picks, for prospects.
And that's why I think that... You know, there could be a miracle in them and they could get that wild card spot and then, you know, everyone is happy and woo.
I will laugh if they get that wild card spot and are not sellers at the deadline because they will just shoot themselves in the foot for another year.
That's why there is a strong benefit to them not making it and just building around Schaefer.
Yeah. Like, this is the year, like, okay, you're entering a new regime with Darsh. Like, you have Matthew Schaefer. You have to turn the page a little, and you have to turn the page from the Lou Lamoriello practice of, oh, I don't want to sell these guys yet because maybe they could do something. It's like, no, except that they're going to maybe not. I mean, again, even if they were to sneak into the playoffs, like, they're not making it past the first round. It's like it was 2 years ago where they miraculously made it and then Carolina blew their doors off. So you have to accept eventually, like, if this team doesn't compete, which they might not.
They don't really compete against anybody.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why nobody, like, they struggle with attendance at their games. And, like, their fan base is not. Like, I don't, it feels like they need to build themselves a way better identity than what
they
have.
They need a new culture. And I do think that Darsh is the right guy to do that. We'll see what happens with Waugh. If the team is really bad this year, I don't know what's going to happen there. And, like, they have the new star in Schaefer, hopefully. And, like, after this year, if it's as bad as we think it could be, like, they kind of have to turn a new leaf and think, like, all right, what are we doing going forward? So,
yeah. Okay, so now we're going to transition over to New Jersey. The Devils begin their season tonight in Carolina, which, I mean, Devils, Hurricanes is a very entertaining game, but I don't really see them. I think Carolina is just a really tough first road opponent, and I don't really see the Devils coming out alive of this game. No. That's my take on it. They don't play at home until the 16th against Florida, which also Florida seems to always have their number. But, you know, that's just me being a Devils hater. Recent news, Pesci returned to practice yesterday after leaving one of the preseason games with concern for injury. Now, I know that none of us here are really that high on the Devils, but is there anything that you guys are looking for from this team to ensure that they have a good start this season?
I mean, yeah, they have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the Devils have been a team that their name has been circulating pretty much every single year. It's like, oh, every year this is going to be the Devils' year that they finally put it all together and, you know, have a good season. But they've, in the 5 years since, or not 5 years, they first made the playoffs, I think, against the Rangers in 2022. So 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, I think, 4 years? Whatever. However many years it's been since they've been consistently making the playoffs, they haven't been good in the playoffs because they're so banged up. And, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I'm not wishing this, but Jack Hughes has not had a fully healthy season in, mm-hmm. you know, like, 2-3 years. And it's that same shoulder. It's so...
Yeah, and Markstrom was injured last year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to put... And the thing about Hughes is he's, like, a skill guy, so he's little. He doesn't mm-hmm. have, like... Like, you compare him to, like, I don't know, like, a hard-nosed player. Like, I don't know, the hard-nosed player just has more muscle and more, like, protection to his joints or whatever. Where Hughes, that's just not who he is, which is fine. He's a great player. But if he's not staying healthy, then the Devils are going to have what happened last year and sneak into the playoffs and then not really do anything out of that. Also, crazy that Luke is the highest paid brother.
I know.
God, that is just insane. Because Quinn is, like, to me... He's the best of the three of them.
Yeah, me too.
Of course. But, yeah, the Devils, I mean, they have to stay healthy. There's not really any other way around it. And they haven't played consistent hockey in a couple of years, too. But I think that's because their players just mm-hmm. fall like dominoes come, yeah. you know, January. And Sam Carrick scores an overtime winner against them. But I just think that's literally the only key for the Devils to be good is just to stay healthy. And I know it's kind of stupid of a thing to
no,
say.
No, I literally have the same thing written down.
Yeah, I was going to say
that's what's happened
thing.
The past couple of years.
Yeah.
And McDavid, you know, yeah. best player in the league, yeah. Re-signed with the Oilers at 2 years at $12.5 million AAV. Now, I was really surprised when I got this notification just because – $12.5 million is low. And, you know, team-friendly contract. It's a two-year deal. So does this mean that in 2 years he's done? Like, is he going to leave Edmonton? Last night the Oilers lost 4-3 in a shootout after having the 3-0 lead. And literally the Calgary's third goal, like the game-tying goal, was... completely Stuart Skinner's fault, like completely just mishandled the puck, and Blake Coleman scored the game tying goal. And it's like Edmonton has been in the Cup final the last two seasons, as we know, and they lost. And that's why I'm kind of just like, I thought that maybe McDavid would wait it out this season and see what happens in the playoffs, just because Stuart Skinner is not, like, I'm just surprised that Stuart Skinner is still their main goaltender.
Me too. I thought they would have, like, fixed that.
Because it's like, I just feel like this is a pattern.
And it's like their issue. Like, I feel like they are capable of winning the Stanley.
Exactly.
If they would just fix this
and
one thing.
They would
thing.
Just fix it. And for it to happen 2 years in a row and then Stuart Skinner is still give, like, the right. reason that you're losing games, I'm just like, it's just very interesting to me that he would take a pay cut to stay in Edmonton.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Like, what? Like, I just can't believe they haven't fixed that yet. Because I'm like, you could win the Stanley Cup. Like, especially, I think about it this year. Like, we don't know what Florida... I mean, Florida seems to be their kryptonite in the Stanley Cup
yeah.
final, obviously.
But we don't
like,
know
we don't
what
know
Florida
Florida's going to make
up,
it there.
Yeah.
Like, just fix that issue. And, like, why couldn't you win the Stanley Cup? It makes no sense to me. But, like, yeah, this was very surprising to me, too. I thought they would have thrown a lot more money as well.
Me too, but especially with all of the signings that have been happening the past
right,
2 weeks.
With that market, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I honestly thought he was going to, like, get more. It's like the players that you don't think are going to get the most money do get, like Luke Hughes and, like, Kaprizov. It's,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, Kaprizov kind of reset the market.
Yeah.
What is he at, 16? 16 AAV?
Yeah.
I mean, it's whatever it is, it's way too high.
I thought it was too high, too.
I thought it was too high.
And then Jack Eichel signed an 8-year, $13.5 million AAV.
$17 million for Kaprizov.
Oh,
17
gosh.
Million is outrageous.
And Connor McDavid's making 12.5.
That's why I'm like, why?
But
that's
what, why would he take
that's
that deal?
What Sidney Crosby has done his whole career. Take an $8.7 million contract. Like,
but he's
contract.
Won cups.
That's what McDavid's trying to do. He's trying to take these small, short, team friendly deals, and it's smart. It's I don't think Sophia, to go back to your question before we talk about Eichel, about is he looking to leave Edmonton in 2 years? No, I don't think so. But if Edmonton doesn't do what they should do around him, with him taking a pay cut, then he's wants to, you know, it's like he wants to be able to be liquid. He wants to be able to go somewhere else after 2 years. He doesn't want to tie up all of his career in one place. It's he wants to be able to pivot if he has to. But I think the intention is to win a Stanley Cup with the Oilers. That's why he's taking a $12.5 million deal, because he cares. That guy cares more about hockey and winning than he does money. I mean, $12.5 million is still a lot of money. But I think McDavid is just in a league of his own. It's like he's like Crosby. He just it's not about the money. It's about winning.
Yeah, and as I was saying, Jack Eichel signed with Vegas for 8 more years, which means another potential free agent of this upcoming 2026
season. Panarin's like the only one left.
Yeah. Is gone. Yeah.
And I think the Rangers gone. I think the Rangers re-sign Panarin.
I don't know about that.
I think they will.
I don't know. I'm
James Dolan is not going. Take out Chris Drury for a second. James Dolan is not going to let Artemi Panarin go anywhere, because realistically, him and Igor are the only ones reasons like Ranger fans show up. If you take out Artemi Panarin from the Rangers roster, nobody's going to go to the
games. He's like Pasta. Like, yeah. I feel like without Pasta, like, who are the Bruins?
Panarin got probably some of the louder cheers the other night. Well, Rampy always gets the loudest. David Quinn got loud cheers. But, like, the Rangers are nothing without Panarin. So there's no way that, like, James, because part of the reason the Rangers can never embrace a full rebuild is because their owner's like, hey, like, my seats are empty. Go get a big name so that I can fill my seats again. So I don't think they let Panarin walk unless they get someone else, which there's no one else out there right now.
And what do you think he's going to get?
Okay, so what is he? I think now he's at like 11.5, like a little bit over 11.5. I think he'll get like, you know, 10 to 12, but that's a very misleading contract because the caps went up a lot.
Exactly. So,
so I think like percentage wise, he's going to be a lot smaller, but I think he's going to get around the same AAV probably just for like, I don't know, 4 years, three, 4 years.
Oh, what is he?
He's probably, what, 33, 32, 33. But I mean,
33.
They've signed a lot of contracts that like they know are going to be bad in like 4 or 5 years. You know, Trocheck, Gavrikov, like, even Mika, like those are long contracts, but you kind of have to like sign deals that you know the last two are going to be a struggle. But I think the Rangers, as far as I'm concerned, are still hypothetically in win now mode.
Yeah, definitely in win now mode, especially like they're all older. Like,
yeah,
and Miller is older.
They still have, like, if you look at that roster on paper, actually. I got the roster on paper.
That was
I mean, Mika, JT Miller, Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere. I mean, I would throw Cooley's name in there because he is in the top six. But Gavrikov, Fox, Igor. I mean, that's half your roster is like big names.
And that's why I don't understand how they scored 0 goals in the home opener. Because you have all
that. That was just sloppy. But it's more like how they were so bad last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's like,
and but now
question.
I feel like, okay, well, obviously they lost Chris Kreider, but you know, you have Gavrikov, you have Miller for the whole season, like,
but I think Cooley, like, I hate to say it, like, because like I'm not trying to pin our players against each other, but I think like Cooley's a fine replacement for Kreider.
No one replaces Chris Kreider.
Like on the ice, I think they're fine. Very comparable. Like fine. I used to call him like Baby Kreider. You know, they called Schneider Baby Truba.
Yeah,
I was like, I think Cooley's like Baby Kreider.
Okay, fine.
So I think like I don't think he's well. They have. Schneider's replaced Truba, and Cooley's replaced Kreider.
So sad.
Yeah. It's weird, though, that, like, he's not skating out opening night.
Yeah. And he's like, but he's the last one to skate out in Anaheim.
He's got a
games.
Mullet now. Do you see
I
that?
I know, it's awful.
Have you seen the mullet?
Yeah. It's
Chris Kreider's got a mullet.
Awful.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
He's and just I'm embracing really, the Cali life. Actually, California is definitely not mullet culture.
I'm really upset that I can't get a Chris Kreider like centennial jersey.
You still could. You'd have to get it custom made.
Like how I can't wear that. Like, yeah. I'm probably gonna get a Lafreniere.
Mine better be waiting for me at home when I get home tonight.
Ugh, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
And they look so good.
Yeah.
They are really nice.
They're probably some of the nicest. Like it's the color.
Yeah.
The color is beautiful. Yeah. And it's just different from like the old Ranger blue. So yeah.
And I'm excited to see the Winter Classic jerseys too.
Yeah.
Looking ahead. Good point. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it from us. I am Sophia Smith, and I was joined by Lydia Perner and Grace McCarron, and we had Joe Henry on the boards. Thanks for listening, and everyone get ready for the NHL season.